Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Wallenberg's life is a challenge to us all, to live those virtues of empathy and compassion. He was a Lutheran, and yet he risked his lives to save Jews.
The more I advanced I was in science, and the more I studied it, and the more I asked questions, the more I kept running into this idea of storytelling.
In a sense, that's what Romophobia does. You're swinging your sword so hard at Rome that you're actually doing injury to your brother.
The Augsburg Confession says the highest worship of the gospel is the desire to receive God's gifts. Not what we can bring to Jesus, our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Are his ideas still with us today? Karl Marx. I mean, it seems like a man who had his heyday in history and then receded quietly into the back pages, into the footnotes of history. But if you think about his influence, it is still very much with us today. There's still several very large countries on the planet that more or less follow Marx's scheme for how society, how individual lives ought to be ordered. Not just government, but it's a philosophy that goes far deeper than how you conduct your government or your economy. But how do we best understand this very influential, very damaging, very harmful idea called Marxism? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Wayne Mayhall joins us for the first half hour. We're going to do a little Marxism 101, understanding Marxism, in the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, Pastor Ted Giese joins us. We'll talk about Hollywood and religion. There's a story in the Christian Science Monitor about how there are several projects, big projects, in the pipeline for Hollywood and for television. And the stories are ostensibly taken straight out of the Bible. We'll find out why and what it means. Dr. Clay Jones will join us in hour two of Issues Etc. Often, when having a conversation or dialogue with an atheist, you'll hear their arguments. Some of them are intended to be arguments, quite honestly. Some of them, perhaps unwittingly, are intended to be distractions. We'll talk about some of those arguments and how we might best respond to them. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll talk about the importance of preaching. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Wayne Mayhall's a regular guest. He's adjunct professor of philosophy at Liberty University, adjunct professor of philosophy and theology at Limestone College. He's author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled The Original Fight Club, Understanding the Philosophy of Karl Marx. Wayne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Todd. Thanks for inviting me.
You reference it in the title of your article, this pop culture reference to this movie of about a decade ago, Fight Club. What's the connection between that movie? Is that a keyhole through which we can kind of see a good view of what Marxism is?
Well, yes. On a microcosm level, on a macrocosm level, just about all of pop culture is nowadays. But we can talk about that a little bit later. But to answer your question, the Fight Club is the epitome of Marxist rhetoric. Most people don't see the movie or read the book through that lens because they're not very familiar or they're not very learned in the philosophy of Karl Marx. And that's what I was trying to do, attempt to do in this article. Yes, the Fight Club is about Marxism in many ways, but the most poignant ways are that the main character, Tyler Durden, this whole antagonistic idea throughout the movie is to fly in the face of the ruling class, to do anything he can to disable the ruling class, because the ruling class basically doesn't have his best interest or anyone's best interest in mind. They're only about their own business, and that's subjugating the people below them who they need in order to support their lifestyle.
In the story of that film, eventually there's a little society, an army, if you will, formed by that Tyler Durden character. And his goal is kind of, well, it's called Project Mayhem, the complete overthrow of civilization. The movie obviously ends with the destruction of the centers, economic centers for credit card companies, these buildings falling, a rather horrific view, especially on 9/11. But someone would say that's, you know, that is kind of an over-the-top depiction of this. What were Marx's goals, broad goals for society?
Well, Marx, like Durden, was in the middle of London at the height of the Industrial Revolution. He was in poverty most of his life, and he depended on others for support. The name you might recall is Lenin. That's who his compatriot was through all of that. And Lenin actually supported Marx throughout his career. But for Marx, growing up, or his children growing up in this industrial environment, in abject poverty, and seeing it himself, and this sense of alienation that he was seeing all around him, that was caused by industrialization and ultimately capitalism, this led him to realize that unless the proletariat, that's the working class, were to rise up against this bourgeoisie or the ruling class and overcome this huge divide, this huge disjunct between the people who have and the people who have not, then they would always be in that state. And Karl Marx's philosophy, Das Kapital, and all the other many thousands of pages that he wrote, was basically designed to show us a way out, the working class, that is, out of this place they're at, and to find a way to overthrow the ruling class in this huge, as you said, apocalyptic sort of world-ending revolution, which would cause the next cycle of humanity to come into being. That's kind of that's this main perspective. There's a lot more to it than that.
You say that in order to begin understanding Marxism, we have to understand one of his major influences. That would have been another philosopher, a German idealist, Hegel. What was his basic idea that Marx built upon?
Yeah, Friedrich Hegel is one of the least read and hardest to understand philosophers among the many. But Hegel's idea was what was called dialectic, and the dialectic is simply this. You have an event that is called a thesis. You have that event's opposite, the antithesis, and between the event and its opposite, there is a synthesis that is formed, and that's how history progresses. For Hegel, the ideal city-state was actually Greece, Athens, Greece. He had that in mind because it was a republic, and it worked well, and everybody got involved, and no one ruled over anyone else at that person's expense. So Hegel was trying to show us how, as each new generation comes into being, as each new world comes into being, the world is slowly evolving to a place where everyone would have the freedoms that others had that they didn't have. Eventually, it should be that way, this historical dialectic. But Hegel saw this in terms of more of a world spirit, not in terms of a practical approach to how this would happen. Marx took Hegel's idea of this dialectic, and he turned it upside down, and he called it dialectical materialism. The definition there of materialism is the idea that Hegel was so earthly-minded that he was no heavenly-minded, that he was no earthly good. And what Marx wanted to do is bring Hegel's ideas down to earth, right down into the trenches, into the sewers of human depravity, as he would say, where people live and move and have their being and are being subjugated by the ruling class. And Hegel wanted to take this dialectic and form this new synthesis through a revolution that would give the working class the freedom that they had that eluded them all of their lives.
What is his concept of class and class struggle?
Marx's concept of class and class struggle would be basically, as I put it to you, there are these two classes. There is the bourgeoisie, there is the ruling class, there is the proletariat, the working class, and the working class is forever in chains, and the chains around their ankles and wrists are symbolic of the labor that they have to do in order to survive, and in order that they have to do to make sure that the bourgeois class prospers. So class struggle is that struggle between the working class and the ruling class that never is never ending. It's likened for Marx to the industrial age, where machines are being labored over by the working class, and then the working class, the more they labor, the more they become like the machine. So at some point, you can't distinguish between the machine and the human being itself, because the human being becomes as much a commodity as the machine is. So the human being has now lost his human being and now becomes a human doing, and therefore is objectified by the ruling class and is no longer worthy of the things that human beings should be worthy of, and that is respect and dignity and a good life. So you probably hear overtones of the Matrix trilogy as I'm telling you, responding to this question, because the Matrix trilogy takes that same idea of what it means to overcome the machines, to get out of that elusive world of machines and to find your humanity, and what it takes to do that. It takes a world struggle and a self-struggle in order for that to happen.
Wayne Mayhall is our guest. We're understanding Marxism here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. I'm thinking with a minute or so before we take this break here, Wayne, we have the class struggle. What did Marx envision as the resolution or the synthesis that would finally emerge from this eternal struggle between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie?
Well, Marx, according to Marx, capitalism has amplified these class antagonisms. You know, the two great hostile classes here, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. The struggle for Marx is reduced to private ownership of the means of production. So the ruling class has this means of production, and that is over and against the workers who sell their labor to the capitalist system of production. So Marx's idea was that you had to exhaust these mechanisms that the ruling class used over the working class. And he wanted to answer the one question is, how does capitalism work? And once you understand how it works, then you can begin to dismantle it piece by piece in this revolution that he envisioned. One of the big mechanisms for him was consumerism. And the idea was that, a worker's production depends on his or her reproduction over and over, the assembly line, for example. So the idea is that, you know, you work all day long, but really only the first few hours of what you work earns you the right to keep working. But everything else you work, you give as labor to the capitalist who's exploiting you. So Marx's idea is that once you start to realize these little things like this, that you're trapped in this web, you can then begin to build a solution to get out of that. The synthesis would be where the working class can overrule the ruling class and through this revolution overcome them, and then they can create a better utopic society where everybody is equal, sort of like the 99% versus the 1%. And now you have, you know, the 99% overcomes the 1%, and then you have a 100% society like Athens, Greece, as Hegel envisioned, where everybody is seen on equal footing.
How did Marx understand, I think what you call it in your article, the superstructure of society as one of those mechanisms that needed to be overcome for this revolution to be successful? About a minute here.
Yeah, the superstructure comprises, for Marx, it comprises everything that's cultural, such as religion, politics, law, education, the arts, everything for Marx. This is all determined by a specific economy. In other words, it's all a slave-based, feudal, mercantile, capitalist economy for Marx. So he believed that we should understand that the ideology of this superstructure and realize that behind all of these things, the arts, education, politics, religion, behind all of that, there is this ruling class manipulating it. Sort of like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Lion, they all get there at the end. It's not this huge giant of a being that's ruling you know, omnipresently. It's just this little guy behind a curtain. Marx believes that if you understand the superstructure, you can fold that curtain back and see that guy there, that little guy that's manipulating this machine, and cut his arms off, basically.
Wayne Mayhall is our guest. We're understanding Marxism. He's adjunct professor of philosophy at Liberty University, adjunct professor of philosophy and theology at Limestone College, author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled The Original Fight Club, Understanding Philosophy of Karl Marx. We'll be right back.
Only after disaster can we be resurrected. It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything. Nothing is static. Everything is appalling. Everything is falling apart. This is your life. This is your life.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're doing a little Marxism 101 on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th. Wayne Mayhall is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the second half hour of the program, we'll talk Hollywood and religion with Pastor Ted Giese. Dr. Clay Jones will join us in hour two. We'll talk about some distracting arguments made by atheists and how to respond. And then Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us to talk about the importance of preaching. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. And our Twitter address, at issuesetc. You said earlier in our conversation that you can look up almost any place in American or Western culture and see a very strong influence of Marxist ideology. Give us some examples of that, if you would, Wayne.
Oh, sure. First of all, I think it's interesting that today you have Hollywood and religion and atheism as segments that go along with Marxism. They all overlap wonderfully. One thing I would say about atheism, though, is that, and it's unusual that most people don't get this, but I tell this to most of my atheists in my world religions classes at college. When they tell me they're atheists, I say, maybe you need to upgrade yourself to an agnostic, because an atheist claims to have infinite knowledge that the infinite does not exist, which would kind of make you a god. And I think that the best you could be is agnostic, but that's just my opinion for the next segment that you have. But back to the question in hand, you said give you some examples. Well, let's just rip them from the headlines. What's Miley Cyrus up to when she walks out on the stage in the AMA Music Awards and basically with her tongue stuck out and all of the sexual innuendo that follows that, doesn't even respond to all the people's request as to why she did it until 3 days later. And when she finally does respond, she says, well, you know, you guys are thinking about this way too much. I was just out there to entertain you, and you want to be entertained. And isn't that what I did? Why are you making this about morals and values and all that stuff? Well, that's a classic Marxist comment when someone has this dichotomy of a society, which is Hollywood has no morals or values. It can do anything it wants. It's amoral. And over and against the society, which claims to have at least a few morals left, and they can spit or fly in the face of all that morality and say, well, I'm here to entertain you. Whether I'm being moral or immoral, that doesn't matter. You're the ruling class. Whatever morals you put into place, I don't need to follow those anyway. I'm the entertainment class behind my ideas that I should have my own little revolution, which is what Miley did on stage. And basically, she's coming out. She's saying to everyone, the millions that were watching, hey, here I am. This is my revolution. I'm going to create a whole new world where people can do whatever they want, where there are no morals. Where, in the words of the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, we killed God. God is dead. Let's now create our own morality. We're going to transvalue all morals. We're going to rise above any morals that might have been in place, and we're going to be our own moral makers now. That's kind of what Miley, or actually, that is what Miley's saying in her little revolution on the AMA stage that night.
I guess it raises a question in my mind. Does the kind of popularity of the concept of reinvention of self or deconstruction of we deconstruct everything nowadays, does that have a link to a Marxist presupposition?
Well, certainly, and it gets back to one of the highlights of my article is that every theory that's out there today, from deconstruction to postmodernism to whatever the theory might be, has its roots in Marxism, in that dialectic that's there to change society. Marx said that Hegel has basically described the world and talked about it. My job now is to change the world with my philosophy. And this idea of deconstructionism is you take whatever meta-narrative, that's the overarching themes that culture lives by, and you break those down, and then you create new narratives that seem to have their own life and that seem to be far removed from that meta-narrative. But the issue is this. You can never truly escape the meta-narrative in the Christian world, because we believe and we know that God is the one true moral lawgiver, and that God has a design for the world. And as we read in the book of Romans, when the design is all around us, when we forsake that design, we might be able to for a moment think that everything's going all right for us, and that our world is the way we think it should be. This revolution has given us a new life. But what Romans is telling us, the first chapter of Romans, is that we're deluded, and God allows us to be in that delusion when, even though we are, he still has his hands on everything. He's still sovereign over that.
Marxism has obviously then been a success in the terms of its ability to pervade our thinking, our presuppositions. In actual execution, how would you evaluate the success? That is, delivering on its promise of a utopia or near utopia for those who would abide by it. How successful has it been?
Well, you said at the opening of the segment, Todd, that several countries, and actually there's quite a few who still today in the 21st century practice Marxist rhetoric, although there's a lot of these springs going on, like the Arab Spring and such, where people all around the world are responding to all the isms that are out there, whether it be communism, Marxism, socialism, fascism, whatever they are. But as I noted in my article, by the mid-1960s, there were over 2 billion adherents in the form of this powerful philosophical idea that Marxists and Lenin put into place, and Stalin subsequently, et cetera, Castro. Communism during that period of time basically ruled the world, other than the United States of America and some European countries. But this idea of dialectical materialism still has its roots firmly planted in most of the world today.
in the 21st century. I think that will go on as long as we have this this great disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, that's a big debate now here in America, as the middle class appears to be dissolving quickly. What's the end result of that going to be? What's it going to look like? And we may even be moving more toward everyone's, all, of course, announced socialism as this particular presidency's end game. But if it weren't for Obama, the way the economy is shaking down, as it's in conflict, an American economy is in conflict with a global economy, you're going to have more opportunities for this Marxist idea to emerge, and these little fits and spurts of revolution to show their ugly face.
Wayne Mayholz is adjunct professor of philosophy at Liberty University, adjunct professor of philosophy and theology at Limestone College. He's author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled The Original Fight Club, Understanding the Philosophy of Karl Marx. Wayne, thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me again.
When we come back, Pastor Ted Giese joins us. We'll talk about Hollywood's new interest in Bible stories. Stay tuned.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.